Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Always remember that maybe on earth you may not be a billionaire, but one day when you stand in the presence of God, then the status on earth doesn't matter. What matters is what God says you are in His presence.
Pastor Neil continues his teachings from the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon raises profound questions about life's purpose, given that death is the common destiny for all. Throughout the text, he draws comparisons, noting that both the wise and foolish meet the same end, as do the rich and the poor, and even animals and humans all meet the same end. The unrighteous may thrive in life while the righteous endure hardships, yet both ultimately face death. Many Christians today grapple with similar questions amid daily struggles. It's crucial to remember that our current suffering pales in comparison to the glory that awaits us. We must look beyond our present circumstances and focus on what truly matters, life after death, trusting that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's insightful message. What is the point if we will die?
In today's lesson, I will look only at one verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, but the rest of the lesson would be the whole book because I'll be moving from one place to another. And it is about something that was bothering Solomon. And let me put that statement up for you. He says, death is the destiny of all men. I want you to put your hands on your head and say to yourself, you can refuse it, but it is true. Death is my destiny. Mm-hmm. Some of you who believe, power of positive confession. No. Death is the destiny of all men. You will die. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Be the preacher for me today. Tell them you will be dying at some point. Sometimes we think if we don't talk about it and we push it back, then no, you will die at some point. There will be a day that will be the day I will die. And you will have a day that you will. There will be a day that you will. You will die at some point. Solomon says, death is the destiny of all men. So he asks a very important question and he says, so what is the point in living life? What's the point in chasing after the things we are chasing after? Because we all die anyway. Let's pick up Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 2. I'll read from the New International Version. He says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. And it is true. And the living should take this to heart. Can we read from the screen? Because I know you want to be quiet and not talk about this. Today we will talk about this. Is it okay if we talk about it? See, sometimes we don't face the real issues in life. Today we look good. And that's all we talk about. But in 10 years, will you be just where you are? Read with me, please, shall we? It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. In fact, the expanded Bible says that it is better to go to a funeral than to a party. Tell the person sitting next to you, from today, no more parties, go to more funerals. Why did he say that? The answer is right there. He says, because death is the destiny of all men. The word destiny is somehow glorified. If you watch the Olympic Games and sometimes they ask some of these athletes, you did so well, you got a gold. He says, that was my destiny. No, that's not the sense I'm using the word. We're talking about death is there. If you don't say it, I won't move on. So we better get to the death is the destiny of including me. I need you to get it in, because once you understand that, it affects the way you live. Some of you are chasing pleasure as if you won't die. Death is the destiny of all men and all women. Death is our destiny. And Solomon is saying that, I have tried wine, I have tried work, I have tried women, I have tried wisdom. And I realize that it's like the chasing of the wind. And he's bothered by this whole idea that if we will all die, then why even go after things? It doesn't make sense, because we will die. And he asks this question in four different ways throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. That's why I said today we will go through the entire book. First thing he says, that what is the point in being wise? What is the point in being wise if I would die the same way the fools die? In other words, the fool died the same way the wise dies. So if I am going to just pursue wisdom and then brag over that, I die the same way. We just get buried the same way. Have you seen anybody buried in space? We all go down here. Solomon asks it the second time. We will go through the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, what is the point of being wealthy if I would die like a poor person and leave my wealth to somebody I don't know? And I don't know if that person will be wise or foolish. Thirdly, he says, what is the point of being human? Because human beings die the same way animals die. Then fourthly, he says, what is the point of being good or righteous? Because the good and the bad people die the same way. The righteous and the wicked die the same. So what is it? Let's pick up the reading. Come on. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's look at two verses. Sometimes there are people who don't come to church because, what is the point? What will we gain? Just go stand there. Pastor will just shout, and we'll go home. No, there is a point to it. We'll come to it. Because if you think that you are just dying and after death, that's it, you're kidding yourself. Are you in Ecclesiastes chapter 2? Look at verse 15 and 16. I'll read from the New Century Version. He says, I thought to myself, what happens to a fool will happen to me too. So what is the reward of being wise? I said to myself, being wise is also useless. The wise person and the fool will both die, and no one will remember either one for long. In the future, both will be forgotten. So there is this first problem. If death is the destiny of all men, what's the point? Because even if I am wise, I'm going to die the same way a fool dies. Have you seen that there is a difference between the way Einstein died and some people are dying today? Same way. Look at verse 18 to verse 19. He's asking the question in another way. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18 and 19. He says, I hated all the things I had worked for here on earth, because I must leave them to someone who will live after me. Someone else will control everything for which I worked so hard here on earth. And I don't know even if he will be wise or foolish. This also is useless. So what is the point in being wealthy if you would die like a poor person? How many of you have actually spent time in a morgue? Let me see your hands. Not that you walk in and walk out. You spend time there. And I didn't say funeral home. I said morgue. Because there's a difference. You know, when you go to a funeral home, they've embalmed all these bodies, put them under nice temperature, and they look nice, and sometimes they are smiling. But if you walk into a morgue, you realize that we're simply nothing. And I think sometimes when you're walking around, kogaying, that's my own English, you will need to take you there and look at the end of all living and ask yourself, is it worth all the bragging you are doing today? Look at the person sitting next to you and said, from today, I'm really going to love you. I won't fake it. Because even if you are wise and I'm foolish, we would die the same way. Tell them. Are you learning anything? Look at chapter 3, right? Chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3. Look at 19 and 20th verse. He says, the same thing happens to animals and to people. They both have the same breath, so they both die. People are no better off than the animals because everything is useless. Both end up the same way. Both came from the dust and both will go back to their. So what is the point in being human? If I will die the same way animals die. Look at chapter 9, all right? Look at chapter 9, verse 2. Do you see Solomon's problem here? He says, good and bad people end up the same. Those who are right and those who are wrong. Those who are good and those who are evil. Those who are clean and those who are unclean. Those who sacrifice and those who do not. The same things happen to a good person as happens to a sinner. To a person who makes promises to God and the one who does not. So you see Solomon now grappling with good versus bad and righteous versus the wicked. Those who make sacrifices and those who don't make sacrifices. Those who are clean, ceremonially clean, and those who are unclean. And he says, there's not that much difference. So he's asking the question again, what is the point in being good or righteous if I would die the same way as a wicked or a bad person? So now, if the wise would die like the fool, and the wealthy would die like the poor, and human beings would die the same way animals die, and good and or righteous people would die the same way that wicked and bad people, that what is the point in even living? Let's judge these words theologically throughout the scriptures, okay? So follow me. It is true that the wise and the fool will both die the same way. And it is true that the rich and the poor will die the same way. It is also true that animals and humans die the same way. We all go back to the ground. And it is true that the righteous and the unrighteous will die the same way. If death is the end, then what is the point? That's what Solomon is trying to say. But you and I know that death is not the end. How many of you believe death is the end? You die, that's it. You're done. Death is not the end. It is the end of this existence, but it begins another one. You transition into eternity with God or without God. So what is the point if we will die? Solomon asked the question that way because he's looking at it from the standpoint. Remember when he's describing when he fell. When you walked away from God. So if I see that death is the end of all living, then what is the point in chasing money and all the other things? But child, you know. Child is my English. Add it to my dictionary. Death is only a transition into eternity. Amen. Now let me describe some scenarios for you. If death is the end, then life is about being born. Grow up, go to school, get a job, marry, have children, become old, then die, and get buried, and everything is over if death is the end. The opposite is also true, that if death is the end, then life can be cruel and painful because you get born, you grow up, you couldn't go to school, you couldn't get a job, you didn't have any person to marry, you got kids, but with different partners, and you were not married to them, you became old and you died, and so you were buried. And then you left so much money, and somebody who you have no clue will be taking your money. If that is what life is, then this life is really painful. That is why sometimes you hear people say things like, if that is the end, then eat and drink and make merry for tomorrow. You are afraid to say it, you've been saying it. Let's eat and drink for tomorrow. Okay. Eat and drink But eat and drink with God in the center of it. Because you close your eyes on this side, open it on the other side, and you realize, it ain't over yet. So now, let's address the truth that if death is not the end, then there is a point to all of this. Our existence, our pursuits, our pain. You waking up every morning, getting in the same traffic that you hate. Going to the same job that you don't like and meeting the same boss you feel like punching. Don't you feel like punching some of your supervisors? Be honest. You don't say it, but deep within, it's like, you, the day I'll become the boss. So, fine. Rush and become the boss because somebody will be ready to punch you too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We get an advice here. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 32 and 33. I'll read it from the Living Bible. Listen to what the Word of God has to say. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those men of Ephesus, if it was only for what I gained in this life down here, if we will never live again after we die, then we might as well go and have ourselves a good time. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. What's the difference? For tomorrow we die, and that ends everything. Verse 33, don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. What is Paul saying? In his ministry, the Bible says, Paul fought the beast of Ephesus. It was not a reference to an animal. It was a reference to human beings who functioned like beasts. People who were formidable. They had power. They had authority. They had a way of controlling things. And Paul says, in Ephesus, these guys were like beasts. But I fought them. And when I fought them, he had bruises and he had some victories. But he says, if I fought these guys only because everything ends here, then it's not worth it. You see, some of us believers, we only look at our pain and our troubles in the here and now. Always remember that maybe on earth you may not be a billionaire, but one day when you stand in the presence of God, then the status on earth doesn't matter. What matters is what God says you are in his presence. That is what Paul is saying. And most of the time we tend to act like the same way. Early in the morning, you are in traffic. Pip, pip. Then you change lanes. Rushing to work is a good attitude, but stop giving people fingers on the way. Oh, you say people here don't do it? We are work in progress. There was one morning, I was rushing for an appointment. One of our church members cut in front of me, didn't know it was me. And they gave me a finger. So I followed them straight to their destination. Just to remind me, it was me they were giving a finger to. See, we are acting like mere men because we're asking, well, what is the point? It's cats and dogs. Let's just have our way. No, 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 no. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will act just what? Like them. Many people today are asking the same question. What is the point? I've heard pastors who say things like, what is the point in being a pastor? Because you study the word of God, you help people, and they mistreat you. So what's the point in being a pastor or maybe being a church member? Church members want to become pastors. Pastors want to become human beings. I thank God for the privilege in calling me. I will not exchange it with anything. But do I sometimes get ticked off? Yeah. Because there are some people, when I look at their faces, but by the grace of God, I have to stay there and look at you. What is the point? Because one day when I stand before him, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There is a point to it for which we walk in pain. There is a point to it. The society today asks, what is the point in being a man or a woman? It doesn't matter. There is a point for which you are a man. There is a point to it for which you are a woman. You can't change them around. Because in eternity, the decisions you make now matters. Some of you married people are asking, what is the point in keeping getting married to this woman or that man? What if I change? Ja, you don't know the other one. You have absolutely no clue about the other one. They smile, but when they are angry, they pull guns and knives. You have no clue. So stay with this one. Stay with this one. This one may be crazy, but at least you are alive. You have not been killed. Many Christians today are asking, what is the difference in being a Christian? What is the point in serving God? What is the point in doing things God's way? Turn with me in your Bibles, because this is not a question we are asking. It has been asked before. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. I want us to look at verse 14 to verse 15. If we can read that from the screen, that would be great. Malachi, chapter 3. Please read with me from the screen. Right? We're reading from the New Century Version. Go. You have said, it is useless to serve God. Pause. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Maybe it hasn't come out of your mouth, but it's in your head. What difference? Wake up Sunday morning, go to church, Covenant Family, sing. What do I gain? Let's just be honest. Without blowing my horn, some of you are still where you are and alive because you are under my leadership. Because we pray and labor for you every single moment. I've often heard people, me, I don't like this place. I want to go to the other church where they pray. They went there, they prayed, and the people are deteriorating. There is nothing that is built on prayer. On everything must be built on the Word of God. Thank you. I've never seen anything built on the Word of God that breaks down. Didn't Jesus say it? That there are two men, they build houses. One was on a rock and the other was what? It has to be built on this. So even if you are praying, the prayer must be based on? Here, the people in Malachi's day, he says, you said it is useless to serve God. Wow. It did no good to obey his laws or to show that we are sorry for what we did before the Lord all-powerful. So we say that the proud are happy. Evil people succeed. They challenge God and they get away with it. Does it sound like us today? Yeah. Sometimes we look at them. They don't even go to church. Look at the cars they are driving. Look at their house. How is it that I'm in a little house? Is it not a house? If it is an apartment, is it still not a building? Because the things we worry about mostly are not that necessary. I've seen people leaving their spouses. I can't believe when I married you, you were so slim. Child, she had 4 kids. Who were you looking for? These days, you don't have sheep. Huh? I pray that God would turn the thing around and make us men go through labor and rather bring out the kids and see how many of us will get pot belly. Do you realize women have very high tolerance to pain? We don't. A woman can be going through pain and then she'll be cooking and cleaning. When a guy is in pain, sometimes the headache, I'm complaining, and you need to get me something. Just get me something. She's in the same pain and she's taking nothing. Rejoice you are a man. And you rejoice that you are a woman. Don't wish for something. There is a point in which you are who you are. Here there are people of God. These are Christians. God is having a conversation with them. He says, you have said some awful things to me. He says, you have said that it is useless to serve me. And it's something many of us are grappling with. How is it that I am a born again believer? The unbelievers, after they got married, they have children and I don't. I'm going to bring it down to you. How is it that we are, I am a Christian, they are not Christians. We are the same job places, they keep getting promoted. And I am not promoted. I see promotion in this world has something to do with eternity. It is okay to go after it. It is okay to achieve great things. It is okay to wanting to be promoted. But don't let that get your countenance down. Whilst you are saying amen, leave it. Amen. See, now a few people said amen. I said, while you are saying amen, leave it. Sometimes we are so sad because we have compared ourselves with so many other people. They did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. I tell my wife all the time, I say, hon, we are in our lane, the one God has placed us in. I don't care who bypasses, they can go. I will come later. And I asked her, do you like a slow man like that? She said, yeah. Because sometimes the fast ones can get you into trouble. I said, cool. When the people complained, God answered them. Mark chapter 3. Let's go back. So now I want to ask the question, how should we do things now? How should we live our lives right now? Because if death is the destiny of all men and the things we pursue don't matter here on earth, but what happens in eternity matters, what should we do now? Are you Malachi 3? Look at 16 to 18. Then those who honor the Lord, other version says, those who fear the Lord, spoke with each other, and the Lord listened and heard them. The names of those who respected the Lord and honored him were written in his presence in a book to be remembered. God, we have complained. We need cars. We need houses. We need accolades. We need stuff. All you did was write our names in your book. My name in God's book, does it put food on the table? Oh, come on. Let's just be honest. Let's bring this down. My name in God's book, does it save my marriage? My name in God's book, it gives me a job. Because you are looking at everything in the here and now. And God is saying, no, I need you to look beyond here. I have placed you in time to limit you. But your desire, he says, I have put eternity in your heart. I've put into you the desire for things that are outside of time. And you must respond to it. Amen. Look at verse 17. The Lord all powerful says, they belong to me. On that day, they will be my very own. So not just that your name is written in his book, but he is saying that, notice how God is not responding to their immediate need. But he is telling them what he has already prepared for them. They belong to me, and on that day they will be my very own. As a parent shows mercy to his children who serves him, I will show mercy to my people. You will again see the difference between good and evil people, between those who serve God and those who do not. So don't worry about those who are mocking you that you've been praying and you don't see anything. Your problem is you're looking at everything from the now. I want you to look beyond now.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.